Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Kaylin Patterson, P4P Real Talk Midwest Muscle in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's chatter with the banter. This is Kaylin Patterson. I have Dez coming on pretty soon, co-hostess with the most. And we've got a big, big weekend for natural bodybuilding coming up. Exciting. Lots of top names, lots of A-list competitors, well-known established competitors, as well as first-time competitors at these big shows, and also some coming back for the second time, trying to do a better chance of what they did the first time they went to the big names. I mean, that's competing at these international shows are much different than regular competitions because, for one, you have to qualify to compete in them, and two, you're basically doing an international show representing your country, and that's not an easy thing to do with everything that's going on. And, you know, when you have that flag raised above your head and there's all kinds of understanding and the full weight of what's going on happening right as you're getting ready to step on stage, it's really a proud moment, but it's also sometimes overpowering and intimidating to an extent where you just don't know or understand, you know, exactly what you got into, because if you competed locally, it's one thing, but when you have foreign languages standing right next to you trying to shake your hand and wish you well and you have no clue what's going on other than the fact that you're about to get on stage, it's really something else. And there's a lot that goes into preparing for these big shows. I mean, of course, they're the premier shows for the year for the competitors and promoters and the organization as well. And we have two this weekend. One would be the IPE Worlds, and one would be the Natural Olympia. And both are well represented. I mean, the Midwest is representing in both. This is an affiliate of Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk, so we're always happy to see the big names going out to either coast and representing well. One name in particular, Meshach Ocheng, is going to be doing the IPE Worlds, and he did quite well at the Jordan Cup, and he actually won that. And now he's going to be taking his body and then in stature and seeing how he can do at the IPE World. Now, he did quite well at the KC Classic, so we'll see if he can basically do the fall and the summer and the fall shows and see how it turns out. I mean, he's going up against, again, some very top names, and seeing how he's going to do. Now we have the Natural Olympia as well going on, and that's going up on the West Coast, so anybody that doesn't make it to the Midwest and compete is also going to be trying their best to represent their country at the Natural Olympia. This is a big show in itself. It's actually considered called an event because it takes 3 days. I know the IP World has grown. It's well organized as well. So you don't have two top-quality shows, two top-quality organizations representing, you know, natural bodybuilding to its fullest. And then we also have the DFAC World coming up, so that's going to be a big show as well. So, you know, there's a lot of good competition, a lot of good organizations basically representing natural bodybuilding at its finest. And please understand that if you dip your hat into these shows, you had best come correct, because it's not something to take lightly. It's not something you can just basically spend 8 weeks getting ready for, because some of these competitors have spent at least 24 weeks preparing, some even longer, because they take it that serious. And, you know, every competitor should, but they actually understand what they're getting into, and it's not really a surprise for them. A lot of them are being pros about it, even in the amateur stance, and then you have people that have been pros and know what a pro physique is supposed to look like, and are bringing that as well. So when you have these kind of shows and these kind of athletes showing up, everybody is going to be getting a present long before Christmas and Thanksgiving, because you have basic natural bodybuilding being shown at its finest. And lots of people are qualified. And I'm just speaking on the male side. So when Dez comes on, she'll be speaking on the female side of the competitive. Lots of good competitive stuff out there. I also want to give a shout-out to Loretta. I know she competed at the Jordan, and she won. And she's been, you know, going through a lot with family and friends and, you know, her people. And it's a lot going on with that. I'm just glad that she was able to bring and represent her best. In spite of everything that's been going on, she still found a way. I know she's got Truman backing her up, so it was nice to see that, and nice to know she has that kind of support. And he's also a snake charmer. I forgot to mention that on last show, where there was a snake that was in their house, and he found, you know, guys, I know. I know. I see the faces. Got it. We understand that is quite a shocking thing, but it is a true story, and they have the video to prove it. And he just came home, got the snake out of the house, and then went back to work. So he is that kind of guy. So hats off to that. We have lots of good shows coming up, lots of good stories, and lots of good people. And we also want to be speaking to the guests that are winning at the big shows, the big dance. I mean, we've dealt with some pre-big dance shows. Guerrino Mackey's one of them. He's going to be at the IPE. I know we had Benario on. And he's going out to he's representing the Midwest, going out to I can't get these names right. My brain is fried. I'm starting to sound like that. He's going out to the Natural Olympia. And he basically was overwhelmed the first time he went out, and now he's going to be going out there and doing his best to bring some hardware back to the Midwest, right out of our area, one of the locals. So it's nice to have the people that we've had on as guests still pursuing the natural bodybuilding genre and stepping on stage and representing the Midwest. Like I said, we are Midwest also, so we're happy to have these guys out there. So the Natural is going to be a phenomenal show, and we're also going to have a great representation from the Midwest, of course, at the IPE World. So, you know, I'm really excited as a fan. I'm kind of disappointed that for 2 years running, I haven't been able to get out to the shows and represent Midwest Muscle as Midwest Muscle, instead of having the competitors representing the Midwest. It's kind of hypocritical on my side, and I do take full blame for it. I should have prepared better. Life happens. I'll try to represent Midwest Muscle better next year. Dez, how you doing?
I am great. Glad to be here. Hello, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your November so far. I can't believe it's this time of year. And KP, you know what, buddy? You represent the Midwest everywhere you go, whether it's via airwaves or in person. So don't beat yourself up too much.
Yeah. You know how badly we wanted to get to these shows, and I'm just a little disappointed.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know, but yeah, so when things are out of your control, they're out of your control.
Yeah, that's true. But thank God for Frank and Mike.
Praise the Lord for Frank and Mike. And, hey, why don't you explain what Frank and Mike is for some of our listeners who don't know?
Oh, you know, I don't think we ever did explain Frank and Mike. Yeah, that's a good point. anytime you have a passion for something, people take notice. And I had a Cross Rocket Yamaha 600 ZR, and I was just so elated to have another motorcycle after my motorcycle accident. And people were saying, aren't you scared to get on it, you know, this, whatever. And I was just so happy to have it. And I had it lowered, and that thing could fly like the wind, and I enjoyed every mile and every speed that it could attain. But anywho, I don't know if anybody's familiar with this TV show, Chicago Fire, but in that show, there is plenty of motorcycles that are in it. The owner of those motorcycles for that TV show is also the mechanic that worked on my motorcycle. And he and I just would hang out and talk because we talk shop about motorcycles and would have a great time doing so. And he's just he's passionate about motorcycles, and he's passionate about fixing them and working on them. And he puts his heart into them. And one of the things he told me when he fixed the Yamaha Crack Rocket was that, you know, don't try to cheat your way into riding a motorcycle because you only got two wheels and one engine on the road. So if you take shortcuts, usually you pay for it with either road rash, meaning an accident, or your life. And so I put my trust in him and God, and he took care of that bike. But the one thing he saw every time he would, you know, do maintenance on the bike for when it was supposed to be checked out was that I didn't have 100 or 200 miles on the bike when I'd come back. I'd have 1,000 or 3,000, and then it was 10,000. And you're talking 10,000 miles in 1 month, and then 10,000 miles the next month. 10,000 miles the next month. And he said, boy, you must really like this bike because you've gone through and basically a complete overhaul on the motorcycle, and the summer's not even over. I was doing this from March until August. So, you know, at the end, it was about, I don't know, maybe 50,000-some-odd miles. And he just missed all that time we were talking when the bike had been stolen. And, you know, I let him know it had been stolen, and, you know, we'd be able to stop by. And he just, at that moment, when I had called and told him that the bike wasn't going to be there and I wouldn't be stopping by, he found a frame and started working on a bike and put it together just so I would have something to ride, because I was just heartbroken with the message I left him. And he felt that when I called, and he started working on a bike until he had one completed. So he took plenty of parts from plenty of bikes and put one together for me. And I've been riding Franken bike ever since, and I'm just thanking God for that that chance and that opportunity, for somebody just thinking enough of me to wanting to do that. As I love the heart, guys. Appreciate it. It's just Dad's basically calling me out. This is real talk, so we're gonna we're gonna explain it. So there you go. It was a work in progress. It doesn't look like much. But for me, it looks like the world, because this person, the guy's name is Ray Cryer, if anybody wants to know. He's out of the area, and a great guy. Like I said, really passionate about his work. He doesn't take shortcuts on the bike, but he does like to get the top quality parts, so he knows that every rider is safe on the road. And like I said, there's two wheels on that bike, and he wants to make sure that they're holding traction and basically keeping you safe. And I just love that he would do all those things to make sure that I was safe when I had the Crack Rocket. And then know that he had taken all that time. It was about a year in between me losing the bike till he made the Franken bike, and then all that he had to do to basically get it up to stuff. Okay, Carrie, I get it. Carrie, the bike is a 1981 Kawasaki. I couldn't tell you what the frame is from. I know it's a Street Rider. It's no longer a Crotch Rocket. Well, it never was, but I was riding a Crotch Rocket before. And, yes, I do wear a helmet. Something my co-host made sure, my mom, and also the First Lady of the Church, they made me give my word that I would do so, and I did not take that lightly. And when they're not looking, I'm not wearing the helmet. I wear it as often as possible. I didn't like it at first simply because it seemed to take away my freedom and restricted my ride. But once the bug stopped getting in my face, it wasn't so hard to change. Yeah. So, you know, that's Franken bike in a nutshell. Guys, I'm not the speeder anymore. I keep it at 70 because I think that's about all the bike can do anyway. But I haven't pushed it beyond that. I really enjoy it, and for a minute, I thought I had destroyed the bike because I finally took it on the open road, and something happened where oil was spilling out. I took it to the mechanic. He fixed it free of charge, and I was back on the road in less than a day. So I'm very thankful for Franken Bike. I'm very thankful for Ray for, you know, putting it together like that, and also, you know, really happy with him thinking enough of me to even want to do that, you know, because He definitely didn't sell it for the price of what it's worth. I don't think I'll sell it simply because he put so much into it to make it mine. So I'm going to own it, and basically until the wheels fall. And I hopefully I'm not on it when that happens.
Hopefully so. Hopefully so. And but if it were to happen, I guarantee you it would be on a Tuesday or Thursday, because around 7 o'clock, I'll be looking for you, and you won't be there. And that just seems to be how it goes. So, you know, let's just minimize our Tuesday and Thursday travel if you think something iffy is going. But I think every other day of the week, you will be just fine.
I have to agree with you, because it does seem to pan out that way. I was telling everybody about the upcoming week, but I forgot to, I was remiss in saying what happened with the Jordan, and we did promise that to our listeners, and they have the question mark coming in now. So, Des, if you can take hold of it.
All right. Well, I will be happy to do that. I am going to need Kalen Patterson at least one more minute of filler here as I am driving, I just need to get parked. Because there are a couple things that I want to be able to share other than the results, and I'm going to have to read them. So that is why I need to. I don't think the other travelers on the road will appreciate it if I'm weaving in and out because I'm trying to read and drive at the same time.
Okay, not a problem. Dad is on the road, obviously, and she messaged me in time to let me know that I had to be the host today. And I'm honored to be the host because I know she has to struggle so much with everything she does. But one of the things I was talking about is the Rita and the snake charmer, because you guys were asking. It's not a pet snake. It was not a pet snake that she had in the house. This is something that just basically wandered in, found a way in the house, and parked out because it was enjoying the heat of the home. And Truman was the snake charmer, and I mean that. He came home. He basically took care of the snake, got it out of the house, and went back to work. Didn't make a big deal out of it. Just kind of basically tended to the needs of his wife and said, hey, you know, thanks for calling me, and I'll be home soon. So, you know, it wasn't a pet. It was, I think, 4 foot in length. Everybody thought it was a lot smaller, but Truman's a tall fellow. And he's also a large individual, obviously, being a competitor in the men's tall class and heavyweight. So he's not a small fellow. So, yeah, he did make the snake look smaller than it actually was. But he took care of it, and he did not kill the snake. He didn't destroy it. He just got it outside, took it away from the property, and released it. So there you go. Every time that this man does something, it seems to turn bigger, simply because who he is and what he does and how he does it. So hats off for that. Great job with that, guys. And Dez, are you ready?
I am ready. Wow, it sounds like I missed a heck of a post. I'm going to have to go look for that and check that out.
Yes,
so,
you will.
To keep us, yeah, I'm going to. To keep us moving on, so tonight is Jordan night, and I realize we are a week out, but that's just kind of how things shook out. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with the background of how the Jordan Cup got its name. And so Matt Shepley, who is he is the head of the OCB organization, had posted a really nice write-up about how the Jordan got his name and why Chet Jordan, who is the namesake of the competition, and why he is his idol. So why Chet is Matt Shepley's idol. So I've got that background here, and I wanted to share that because sometimes it's just good to know, you know, how some of these things got started. So it's actually pretty lengthy. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to be paraphrasing in some instances, reading verbatim in others, but hopefully just to give you a good feel for where this whole came from. So here's the story behind the Jordan Cup name. Bodybuilding began as an activity centered around health, but after anabolic steroids were introduced, What was once healthy began to transform into something quite the opposite. Eventually, the time came where it seemed a bodybuilder didn't stand a chance of winning a major championship title unless he used steroids. Competitors were basically left with the decision of either having to use drugs to be competitive, risking their health in the process, or dropping out of competition altogether. And this is where Chet Yorton comes into the picture. He was born in 1939 in Wisconsin. He grew up in the state. Around his 18th year, he was in a horrible automobile accident. I guess 1 month shy of his 18th birthday, he was riding in a friend's car when the automobile lost control at a curb and ran headfirst into a tree. Needless to say, the young Yorton sustained a laceration to his left eye, a cut on his left forearm from his elbow to his wrist, dislocation of his hips, and shattered thigh bones. Surgical repair required having a steel plate wrapped around his right thigh bone and a steel rod inserted into the femur bone of his left leg. And while in the hospital, he noticed a set of dumbbells in the corner of his room. And prior to this time, he had never touched a weight. And so he experimented with these dumbbells, doing exercises, whatever was possible, from his wheelchair. And it says here he felt an instant connection with the weights. He asked his doctor if using the weights could assist with his recovery, and the doctor said yes. And so from there, the love affair continued. When Yorton was finally able to get out of a wheelchair, he weighed 160 pounds and had a 35.5-inch waist. 7 months later, he was 55 pounds heavier with a waist that was 3.5 inches slimmer. And he continued to train, and in 1959, he entered his first bodybuilding contest. So the accident happened in 1957, and he entered his first bodybuilding contest 2 years later. And then shortly after that, he opened his own gym in 1960. He competed and won a number of titles, but then he was drafted into the armed forces 2 years into ownership of his gym, which he sold. Prior to enlisting, but he was discharged not too long after because of one leg being shorter than the other, an inch shorter, because of the car accident. So shortly after, he came home to Wisconsin at age 23. So here's this kid, just shy of his 18th birthday, goes through this tragic car accident. Well, not totally tragic, but, you know, very serious. He heals himself, or is healed. God heals him. Discovers weights, and within 2 years, he opened his own gym and starts competing in bodybuilding. At the young age, in his, you know, of his early 20s, and so then he's coming home after enlisting, age 23, he decides to move to Southern California, and the first gym he worked out there was the Dungeon on 4th Street in Santa Monica, and when weather permitted, he also worked out on Muscle Beach, where he was discovered by a casting agent looking for muscle men to be in a movie. The movie was Muscle Beach Party, released in 1964, starring Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello, and several of the gym members, along with Chet Yorton, were chosen for the part. It says Yorton first became aware of steroids in 1964. He was tempted to use them until he spoke to a doctor who told him about possible side effects such as acne, gynecomastia, which is a formation of breast tissue in males, impotence, hair loss, headaches, increased risk of heart disease, kidney problems, liver problems, high blood pressure, and stunted growth if used at too early of an age. After learning of these side effects, Yorton began to speak out and educate others about the dangers of steroid use. He was one of the earliest competitors to do so. So in September of 1966, Chet Yorton claimed the IFBB Mr. America title in New York. 1 week later, he claimed the NABA, which stands for National Amateur Bodybuilders Association, which is the organization that Joe Perez runs the Chi-Town Showdown under, one of the few natural shows in that organization. So so Yorton won, claimed the NABA Amateur Mr. Universe title in London. And this was one of only three times where someone would beat Arnold Schwarzenegger. So Chet Yorton beat Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I guess was only beat three times ever in his competitive career. After winning these events, Chet retired from competition. He had achieved his goal, which was to win the Mr. America title. And secondly, he felt drug use and bodybuilding was spreading to the point that natural competitors didn't have much of a chance of winning anymore. The year following his retirement, he appeared in the 1967 movie release, Don't Make Waves, starring Tony Curtis and Sharon Tate. And later on, he spotted... What up, Kaylin? Wow.
No, I heard I'm, as a fan of bodybuilding and actors in movies, Sharon Tate is a name that rings a sad felt bell because, you know, she was murdered while she was pregnant.
Oh, okay. So he appeared in a movie with Sharon Tate, and that's, wow, that's a tragic story. I'll have to come back to that one on another time. I'll have to look into that. And then he met his wife, Vicky, on Muscle Beach. He stated in an interview in 2006, as soon as I saw her, I knew I had to have her. And 4 years after they got married, they had a lovely daughter, Shannon, who has made her own mark in the fitness world as a top caliber figure competitor and as the creator of the now highly successful nutrition company, Quest Bars. So,
how about that?
So that is the individual that the Yorton Cup is named after. So I know some of you are probably wondering, did Chet Yorton start the Yorton competition? And I don't know. It doesn't say, and I haven't come across the background information that tells me who is actually responsible for starting the Yorton competition. But we will have to look into that, and we'll report back on the next show. I just did not have a chance to dig that far prior to tonight's show. So now... Especially while I'm driving. I know. But you all will be excited that I do have the results from from the show, which is what you all are wanting to hear. And this, I mean, Caleb Patterson, what is it you're saying over there?
Ma'am. I said we got 30
yes, sir.
Happy faces. So they're ready for the Yorton.
You guys are all ready for the Yorton. So this was a pro-am. So there's an amateur leg and a pro stage as well. So let's get through the results. I know there was some scuttle. We kind of addressed this on a earlier show. And if we don't have time today, you know how we are, guys. We'll pick it back up on the next. Do the results first. And then we can address the scuttle if we are able. Okay, so huge show, and there were a lot of classes, even on the pro stage, which is pretty much unheard of, except for IPE Worlds. And even then, the numbers don't quite match the Yorton. So here we go. We're going to start with men's bodybuilding, and this is Pro Class A. So there were three men's pro bodybuilding classes. So in A, we had, you know what, these are the pros. So I'm going to go ahead and just list all of the placings. I'm not going to go with just the top five. But then we will give you your overall winner at the end. So in men's pro bodybuilding class A, ninth place goes to Tony Yates, eighth to Andy Lavelli, seventh to Marcus Cardina. Sixth place to Alonzo Allen. Fifth place to Bart Simangera. I've got my butcher knife with me tonight, folks. Fifth place, oh, that was Bart. Fourth place goes to Alex Bartanian. Third place to Richard Foreman. Second place to Greg Trombley. And first place, you guys all know the name, Meshack Oshing. First place in men's bodybuilding pro class A. All right, here we go with men's bodybuilding pro class B. In ninth place, we had Tim Pitka. Eighth place, Christopher Miller. Seventh place, Matt Viemeister probably. Sixth place goes to Ravel Passant. Fifth place to Leonard Atkins. Fourth place to Eric Mills. third place, here's another familiar name that we just had on the show, is Garino Iron Lord Mackey. Came in third place in Class B. Second place, Justin Penn. And first place to Victor Igonu. So there is your men's bodybuilding pro class B. And then in men's bodybuilding pro class C, ninth place goes to Jonathan Booth. Eighth place, Gerald Harmon. Seventh place, Kenneth Johnson. Sixth place, Michael Pucci. Fifth place,
Michael
Reginald Allen or Pucci.
Okay.
P-U-C-C-I. No, Kaylin Patterson, I did not.
Love you,
Dad. bring it back around, my friend. Love you, too. All right. Fourth place, Brandon Wattis, another familiar name. Third place,
indeed.
Ray Clark. Second place, Chad Havunen. And first place went to Magnum McRae. So there you guys have it. Three pro men's bodybuilding classes, 27 competitors. That's a really, really big pro men's class. So for the overall, I'm just going to go ahead and go with the top three for the overall. Third place went to Victor Igonu. He walked away with $1,000 cash prize. Second place went to Magnum McRae. $2,000 cash prize. And then the $3,000 first place award went to Meshack Osheng, took the overall title of the men's pro bodybuilding. He is the Yorton overall bodybuilding champion. So hands together for those guys. Kaylin, why don't you give us your rundown of the thoughts on these names?
Well, I'm going to take a step back and first talk about Brandon Wattis and that wonderful post he did today on Facebook, giving a shout-out to Meshack and basically giving the breakdown of everything that man has done this year, aside from the fact of competing. And that was basically, you know, doing the get-togethers for the natural athletes and basically sparking interest in talking about natural competitions and natural athletes. He's a big supporter, obviously, of natural bodybuilding, but he's also a big supporter of natural lifestyle and living. So, you know, big shout out to him and Tyann and how he's been doing things. And the rundown, I mean, it's a who's who of competitors. I mean, Ray Clark is just ginormous, and I had the chance to judge him, and I got to see the improvements he's done on his legs, and they are just phenomenal. And, I mean, if he really nails down that condition, and he's going to be a top competitor all the way through. Because his legs, when he's diced, is just phenomenal. He's got very thick legs. The only time I've seen someone with thicker legs at his height would be the Cleveland Thomas or Phil Ricardo Jr. So that shows you the things that he's working with. And now, you know, with Meshack, of course, what do you got to say? What do you got to say? This guy is just a phenomenal physique. He's going to bring it. I mean, he doesn't shy away from the hard work, the diet, and he definitely doesn't shy away from the gym and the weight. So it's always nice to see him out there, one of the most humble players he's going to have out there, and just phenomenal. I mean, you figure the top three at that show had to be just amazing for them to be coming out of those classes. You and you have, like, Garino Mackey getting third. I can only imagine how the athletes looked because I haven't seen the full spread of the lineup, but I can just, like I said, with just what Garino was taking there and what Meshack did, it just had to be a great time for the audience and the competitors alike. Yes.
Oh, no, I would definitely agree. And the one thing that I appreciate about Yorton that you don't typically see is that the top three finishers of each class all got to compete in the overall.
Oh, wow.
So there were 9 competitors in the overall, and the reason I found that so exciting is because, you know, typically you just have your first place winners in the overall, but having the top three, I mean, that could really shake things up. I mean, you could expect that, you know, the first place winners of each class, they'd all walk away with, you know, being somewhere in the top three, but really, you know, maybe the second place finisher from, you know, Class C could have beat out, you know, the second or third place finisher in Class B, or even the first place finisher in Class B. So it really just brought the competition up another notch, because you have more competitors that have another chance, and they got to compete across the board more evenly.
We have a detractor. This is from Thomas, and he says, if they got third place, what's the point? I can jump on that if
well,
you want,
because
or you can
here's, I'll say my two cents, and then you can say your two cents, because each of these, so all of these men are separated by class, and they're separated by height. So not all 27 men got to compete against each other. They only got to compete against their class. So by giving the top three an opportunity to compete in the overall, they got to compete against a broader cross-section of those pro competitors than they would have if they had only competed against the athletes in their class. So even though, say, Pro Men's Class C, that third place physique, it might have been better than a physique in Class B or Class A. So he still had an opportunity to maybe finish, you know, higher than he did in his individual class, just because he wasn't on stage with any of the competitors from the other two classes at the time he was judged. So if that's clear as mud, I'm sure Kaylin can help work that out.
Yes, I can. There's three factors that, you know, the audience might miss that competitors do not. A lot of times, some people have morning bodies, some people have afternoon bodies, and some people just stay, you know, fit the whole day. Their diet is on point and everything just fell into place, and the body basically showed exactly what was going on. There's some competitors, Dad being a judge and myself as well, actually get harder as they start to warm up and start coming in tighter. And the more they pose, the better they start to look. So I can imagine what some of those athletes probably look like that night if they kept on point and kept on their diet. I've seen some athletes lose the overall when they were basically hands down first place in the morning, and they come back and maybe not even an hour later, and they've lost everything because they spilled over from doing the diet incorrectly. So, you know, you might see some of the athletes flip-flop. A lot of times I've seen it, and people are frustrated because it's happened, but the judge can only judge what's presented before them at that time it's being judged. If it's an overall, you don't go off the scores that morning. You have to basically judge what you're seeing at that time. So, you know, it would be great to see that. I'm liking that they did that. Plus, being pro athletes, they love that extra work, and they love that time to shine in front of, you know, the audience and basically still stay in competition with what they're doing, because, you know, who doesn't like to show what they've done and all the practice they put into it? So, you know, when you talk about the pro stage, I'm loving that they gave them that extra time on stage to shine, and also made it a competitive side too as well, so we get an audience engaged in it. So there's a lot of things that go on, you know, and I'm glad that they gave them that extra time to do it.
Yes, I mean, true competitors like to compete, and the more athletes you can compete against, the better. So I was really appreciative. I enjoyed watching it anyway, and just seeing that extra level of competition there. So here we go. Let's continue on with our look at the pros. Women's physique pro. So we had, in seventh place, we had Claudia Nadeau. Sixth place, Silvana Fazzolari. Fifth place, Melissa Shaver. Fourth place, Heather Moss. Third place, Erin Dugan. Second place, Erin Fergus. And first place went to Nikki Stott. So that's your women's physique pro lineup. And then we had pro figure, and in pro figure there were a ton of athletes as well, so that is exciting. There were three classes of pro figure athlete, or three, there were two, sorry about that. So pro figure A, 11th place, you had Cristaline Munoz. 10th place, Benita Joeff. 9th place, Sierra Marbley. 8th place, Dilka Sanskova. 7th place, Amy Downing. 6th place, Gia Bechara. 5th place, Dahaba Sylvester. 4th place, Jacqueline Roy. 3rd place, Kirsten Campbell. 2nd place, Jessica Powell. And 1st place, Samantha Feenberg. All right, Pro Figure Class B. You have 10th place went to, oh my goodness, I'm just going to call her Lima Gardner. And I have a feeling people call her that for short. I could be wrong, but that's what she's going to be tonight. Sarah Schreiberg, 8th place, Kelly LaFrancis. 7th place, Darlene Maitland. 6th place, Nicole Goodnow. 5th place, Sarah Trudeau. 4th place, Maria Kim Cologne. 3rd place, Janelle Hall. 2nd place, Tiffany Chapman. And 1st place, there she is, folks, Loretta Ward. 1st place in Pro Figure B at the Yorkton. And then for the overall, I'm going to go ahead and just read the top three. And again, they took the top three pros for both classes. And you had 3rd place went to Samantha Feenberg. 2nd place, Jessica Powell. And 1st place went to Loretta Ward. So that is awesome. So let's just break this down, you know, just building off of our last conversation. So we were like, so what? If you didn't place first, you know, what does that matter in the overall? Well, if you take a look at it, 3rd place here was Samantha Feenberg, and she was your number one. She was your first place winner for Pro Figure A. 2nd place went to Jessica Powell. She was, where is Miss Jessica Powell? She was 2nd place in Pro Figure A. So she took 2nd place to Samantha in the prelims, but in the overall, she beat Samantha. So that's an example of the flip-flop and the judges having to judge what they see on stage, and whatever happened in the overall, Jessica came on top. So, you know, if they hadn't put the top three in this category, it does make a difference. Jessica would not have had an opportunity to compete in the overall if they had only went with their first place winners. So that's, there you have it. Find that very interesting. All right. Pro Bikini, 3 classes, and again, very large classes. So let's start with the lineup in Pro Bikini Class A. We had Jessica Aguirre, 12th place. Rochelle Agatuka, 11th. Brittany Gilbert, 10th place. Brianna Shores, 9th. Cassidy Mullins, 8th. Evan Himgesser. I'm feeling like that's maybe even English. I'm not even sure. But she was 7th place. 6th place went to Tracy Poynton. 5th place to Myla Sirianni. 4th to Corinne Orkowski. 3rd to Bianca Cooper. 2nd to Joanna Clayton. And 1st place to Bronwyn Kraus. So that was Pro Bikini Class A. Pro Bikini Class B, 12th place went to Aaron Cooper. 11th to Atrinia Cardona. 10th to Alexis Schrader. 9th to Madeline Vop, 8th to Sarah Hoffman, 7th to Ashley Crandall, 6th to Lindsay Gigi, 5th place to Regina Perez, 4th to Rachel Miller, 3rd to Marie Funk, 2nd to Mary Davis, and 1st to Tara DiNicola. So that was your Pro Bikini lineup for Class B. And then for Class C, you had 11th place Brittany Gaffney, 10th place to Maisha Rogers, 9th to Brandy Swatton, 8th to Omi Oyeguni, 7th to Lindsay Ehring, 6th to Don Granger, 5th place Allison Cameron Perry, 4th Teresa Johnson, 3rd Jasmine Begnery, 2nd Jessica Ostrowski. And if you recall, last year at the Yorkton, Jessie came in first. but here she got second place. So congrats, Jessica. And first place to Jordan Harris. All right, now let's take a look at the overall lineup. Top three. Third place went to Jessica Trowski, second to Bronwyn Krause, and first place went to Jordan Harris. Now that my curiosity is piqued, where did Bronwyn Krause end up the first time around? Well, now I know all of them, and right now her name is escaping me in the sea of. Okay, she was first place in Bikini A. Jessica was second place in Bikini C, and she came in third. So there were a couple of first places that did not finish in the top three.
There you go.
So
Thomas,
there you have it again. You stop picking on Thomas. I am just intrigued by this now, and I, find that very exciting. So there we have it. A lot of just phenomenal competitors, a huge, huge, huge show. I am very much looking forward to making it to the Yorton one of these days. And the amateur side was just as big. I'm not even going to get started on the amateur side tonight because I'm not going to be able to get through the whole thing, and I don't want to do an injustice to it. So we'll have to take a look at the amateur side another night. We'll look at that as soon as we can. Thursday, depending, we're working on our special guest for Thursday. We're in the midst of checking schedules right now. It may or may not pan out. If our guest pans out, we'll probably end up talking about the amateur side of the York next week. But if their schedules don't allow them to participate, then we'll definitely cover that on Thursday. But while we are at it, so let's just go ahead and get to the scuttle. It had to do with the pro side of the Yorton competition anyway. Some of you are already aware. I'm sure you have questions. But there was some disagreement with the amount of payout that the pros won. And I didn't continue to read those amounts, but they were pretty much the same. In any of the pro classes, third place received $1,000, second place received $2,000, first place received $3,000. And so the scuttle was, as large as the show was, for the number of pros that this show grew, shouldn't those payouts have matched the number of athletes that stepped on the stage, meaning the payout should have been higher? That is the opinion of some that are out there. Kaylin, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. It should have been higher. I mean, last year, the payouts were double those amounts, and they went to, the classes as well. So it's very odd that they would shrink the pay and also shrink the amount of winnings to the, because usually the classes would, the different classes A, B, and C would get maybe 250, 500, and then 1,000, and then the overall would go with 7,500, 5,000, and 3,000. So it's really odd that they cut everything so low for such, for the OCB, their biggest show of the year. And it seemed like an injustice to the pros that competed. Great show. I mean, hands down, some of the biggest names at that time. But the payouts didn't really seem to justify the pro status that these competitors and the physiques that they brought. So I'm a little lost in why. And, so far Matt hasn't addressed that. And honestly, I don't think he will. I'm sure he thinks with, the two big shows coming up this weekend that it'll be lost in the wash, but you still have the athletes that, are holding that kind of grind and grudge. Like, why go
and spend so much time prepping for a show where, you know, your status of a pro isn't really being addressed this day.
You know, I would agree. It's really hard. I mean, you can always go up, but it's really hard to step back from something once you've already put it out there. Meaning, if you already have a history of giving much higher payouts, your level of competition has not decreased, although I would have to go back and do my homework and look at the numbers overall from year over year.
Right.
But when you're looking at 27 pro bodybuilders stepping on your stage, you have to split them up in three classes, you know, the participation is there. Now, maybe the sponsors weren't there. I don't know. I mean, there's probably a lot of factors that have played into this. It's just, you know, I don't know, questionable at best. And I wonder if the athletes were aware that the prize money was going to be considerably less.
No, they were not.
Prior
no,
to registering for
not.
The show. So,
aware. They were not aware of the payouts prior to the announcement. The question started when class winners won and no money was announced. So that started the rumor mill. And then when the overall was decided, that's when it sounded like they were announcing what was supposed to be paid to the class winner. So it caused a lot of confusion. People thought maybe they had just read it incorrectly. And, you know, everybody's running around trying to figure out what's going on. And then they find out, no, that's exactly what was meant to be said. And that's exactly what was meant to be done. But the competitors were very confused after it had happened. They were very shocked at the small payout that had been done. And I'm, you know, even if they don't have the sponsorship, with that many pros competing, that money would have still been covered.
Well, all I can say is, well, I mean, clearly you cannot take anything away from the athletes. You know, they showed up, they did their job, their placements are their placements, you know, they earned whatever title it is that they took home. I think it's very unfortunate that the dollars did not match their level of performance, especially since they've always been much higher in past shows. And no one was alerted to the fact prior to getting there.
Exactly.
I don't know. And maybe it was. Maybe they had an overall number out there. I did not pay that close of attention to the marketing for the Yorton. So I don't know if they gave a ballpark figure that said, you know, over $59,000 in cash and prizes. I don't know. But I know that, you know, this year it was maybe like $39,000, $40,000, whatever cash and prizes that were awarded. So you paid attention, Kaylin. What were they advertising?
That was the amount that would equal the $7,500, the $5,000, and the $3,000. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, now see that.
That's a mistake. They really blew it on that.
Yep. Well, I mean, unfortunate, and that's really all the more I can say about it with the limited amount of information I have, but Kaylin is better versed on what was going on in this area, but it is very unfortunate. That is false advertising, and if they just didn't have the dollars, they should have just marketed it as such. I mean, the Yort name in and of itself is prestigious enough because of the caliber of athletes that it draws. So to win the Yort, I mean, and it's been this way for years.
And
even when I first started competing, the Yort was the show to win. and that hasn't changed. Yeah. It's had that reputation for eons. So, I mean, it's still going to draw because of that. But, okay, Kaylin, go on with what you're adding.
No, what I was going to say, when you do a write-up like that about Mr. Yorton and all that he's done, it really sent a heartfelt message of just why the show is so big and why it means so much to so many natural athletes. And then to do a disservice by not paying the amount that a Yorton would have been happy to see go out to the competitors. It really caused a lot of heartache, a lot of headache, and a lot of confusion. When you have that many pro athletes, that winnings are covered. You don't even have to use the attendance fees for the people that are out in the audience. That money is covered. And it was sad when, you know, when people started asking that question, they were either blocked, befriended, or ignored. So you can't have and not the bad. If you're going to say this is how we're going to do things, then follow it up. Because I guarantee if the athletes don't show up, there's no show. And you don't have a show like the Yorton with the numbers that you have. I mean, you figure just the bodybuilding side, pro bodybuilding, and you've got the winning public just off of that alone. And then when you have every other pro side plus the amateur, this money is well within reach to pay out the top earnings to the overall and with the classes. This is, like Des said, is the normal state of the Yorton. This is how it runs. This is not like they said, we're going to introduce this year and see how it works. This is the SOP, the standard order of procedure. So it was really shocking to have that kind of competition and then have it all kind of derailed by not paying the pro athletes like pro athletes. It was almost like a bait and switch. You set up this great status with that great host, and then all of a sudden you pull the rug out from the competitors by not paying them. Oh, this is something, I mean, guys, if you're talking about a big show, it's big for a reason. There's a draw to it. Granted, the competitors want to compete with the best, but they also want to be paid like folks, not like a local show that's pro-am. And basically, when you're talking about big, you basically bring big. I mean, what is it, go big or go home? And then you basically say, I'm taking everything and going where? If the competitors are the ones that drive the show, what does this do for next year? Because the Yorton, it doesn't go off a reputation of being the Yorton without the competition that comes up and sets on the Yorton stage. And I think something was lost in translation, and I hope they get the Rosetta Stone can get this thing figured out, because it's too big a show to have fall to the wayside. Really poor marketing. Yes?
No, I think you covered it. I don't know. I mean, if there's no additional information being shared and we're not confident that any more will be shared, all we can do is wait to see what happens next year. And it's really unfortunate. I just don't know. Just don't know. I mean,
we'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Yep. That's all I got. Because it does, I mean, it just brings together so many phenomenal athletes in one place. There are very few shows where you're going to see all of this going on. In fact, there's probably less than a handful of large shows that pull this caliber of competition, and it just sucks for the athletes. I mean, it sucks financially, yes, but then it just also sucks for those that like to show up and compete, because that opportunity now is diminished. So I hate to hear it.
I do too. We are fans of the sport. I don't know if anybody missed that.
We are. We are. And you know what, guys? I mean, and we're still going to cover the shows regardless of what is going on with the promoters, because it's about the athletes. and the athletes still deserve their due, even though crazy stuff goes on the other side of the equation sometimes. So, anyway, that's all I got to say about that.
I totally agree, other than, you know, when you have a fan-driven, promoter-driven, competitor, coach-driven, nutritionist-driven, one of the biggest things that can be a great motivator for the person that's struggling with those last 2 or 3 weeks is the end game, and that's a nice little payout to win $7,500. So if you got that as a motivator, that might get you over the cusp as compared to basically breaking even for a show and hopefully having your family still love you when you get home. It's great to see the stars shine on stage, but they have to be family when they get home. And if they can't explain everything that they're putting into it, they don't get the support that some of them need to basically finish the game. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on. And like Dad said, it's tough when you don't financially fall through with what you had addressed or presented. And it's just not fair to the athlete. So we're not down in the order. Great competition, great show, and great names. And if you have those kind of names, you don't want to have it diminished by not addressing their needs as competitors and pro athletes. And that's all I got.
Yep. That's what he said. So I guess since we all have said what we got to say, I think the only thing left to say is snickerdoodle shout-out. We got to say it. So go ahead and say it.
Snickerdoodle and not on a donut.
But if he could get it on a donut, you'd know that he would. So on behalf of KP, the boys from P4P Muscle, snickerdoodle donuts everywhere, and myself, your body is a temple. So let's build it.
Who is a snickerdoodle donut? Hello?